Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference of results for the fourth quarter of 2020 for Grupo Nutresa. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Jorge Andrés Rodríguez. Thank you very much for being with us at the conference. After the presentation of the results, we will have a question and answer session. The questions, you can ask them through the audio line or through the chat through the webcast. Those who are asking questions, please remind, tell the name and the institution you represent. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they're going to be in English, you can download them from the screen at the platform. In addition, those who are connected to the webcast, I would like to remind that you can change the language by clicking on the configuration icon. To start the presentation, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us at our disclosure of results for 2020. To start with, I'd like you to go to slide number two about highlights of the previous period. Within a very challenging year in Nutresa, we prioritized the care of life, well-being, and of the people, the protection of natural capital, and business continuity in all countries in our strategic region. As recognition to the implementation of our sustainability capabilities, we've been rewarded as the most sustainable food company according to the MILA Emerging Markets Index, and we got gold in the sustainability index of Standard & Poor's, which recognized our leadership in the criteria of materiality, crisis and risk management, information security and cybersecurity, tax strategy, health and nutrition, packaging, environmental care, water-related risks, development of human capital, attracting and prioritizing talent, and social reform. The company has been for 10 years in a row as part of this index. We started by talking about the events of interest with corporate sustainability because a message is that the results we're going to be sharing with you have a lot to do with the application of these sustainability capabilities that we have mentioned in previous conferences as directly related to the higher probability of existing in the future and generating value socially, environmentally, and economically. Let's now go to slide number three, where we share the main highlights for the year. A year which we can say has had a significant growth and significant advances in corporate sustainability, and I would now add a very positive year in human terms. First of all, I'd like to tell you we had a significant consolidated 11.7% growth in sales during 2020. We achieved that through our advances both in Colombia and outside of Colombia, driven by a good management of the portfolio, brand strengthening and channel development, and outstanding innovation. Secondly, 2020 was an improved ROI capital. We had a ROIC of 9.6%, higher than the cost of capital, and we continued with a positive trend that we had been following, and it is a result of a high rate of growth of our efforts in productivity, expense efficiency, and appropriate resource assignment. As I mentioned earlier, a year to display sustainability practices which are recognized globally, and that allowed us to, as I said, lead to the results we're sharing, and likely a very important part, a year to manage the risks of the pandemic and where our priorities were focused on caring for people's health and life, ensuring the supply of healthy and secure food, and our initiatives that we came together with the public institutions and NGOs and other companies, especially to contribute to the protection of the most vulnerable populations. On this basis and these events, let's now go to slide number 4, where we will see the sales for the fourth quarter of 2020. The fourth quarter had a very positive behavior both in the domestic and international markets. We have good business dynamics with portfolios focusing on home consumption, such as cold cuts, and those who have more to do with consumption outside the home, like retail foods, or those who had portfolios in that area, such as coffee, had some decreases compared to the previous year. In Colombia, the last quarter was characterized by sector restrictions and in different regions, especially in dates of high consumption during December, which had an impact on household consumption during the period. For the quarter, we had a growth of 6.4% in sales, 1,831,700 million pesos. If we were to exclude the consumer retail or the retail foods, that growth would be 7.2%. By business, we had good performance of pasta, ice cream, cold cuts, and chocolate. The volumes increased 1.1%, and the average price was increased by 6% as a result of lower sales of industrial products and changes in the sales mix. The organic growth for the quarter was 5.2%. In the biscuit, we had sales. We had less 6.5% because of lower sales of the season, because the sales for Christmas were lower. Cold cuts were 5.8%. Good business dynamics with a heavy positioning of the brands. Chocolate had a growth of 3.2% of the income, with a good dynamics in table chocolate and a good recovery in categories, impulse categories such as confectioneries. Coffee, a decrease 1.8% in sales because of lower consumption in cafeterias and offices mainly. In retail food, we had a decrease of 2.1% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. However, we should mention that it was the best quarter of the year by recovering sales. This is the result of the inclusion of strategies to make easier access to our products and experiences through channels such as home delivery, pickup at the store, and e-commerce platforms. I'd like to point out that, remember that in December we had in many of our regions a second peak of the COVID-19, so it was a very good result compared or vis-a-vis those circumstances. And ice cream had a good growth, 6.5%, the result of high mobility around the cities, an increase in consumption in ice cream shops, and a gradual reactivation of tourism that is taking place. Finally, in the pasta, we had an increase of 9.0% in this category, which is a convenience item. We had growth in sales with a higher value. Going to international sales, during the period, it had revenue for $305.1 million with a growth of 0.4%. In Colombian pesos, the sales are 1,117,500 million pesos, with an increase of 7.8%. devaluation during the period was 7.3% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. It's important, the total of exports from Colombia, which had $72 million of growth, with a growth of 15.4%. By business, biscuits had a good business dynamics in the Central American and Caribbean platforms and some lower volumes in the U.S. TMLUC grew at 3.8% in the functional currency, with a quarter compared to the sales peaks, that compared to oversupplies when we had the some proposals in Chile. If we isolate this, in fact, Chile has a good behavior, and you'll see that when we had a very good year in Chile. In chocolate, we had a decrease of 0.8% with lower volume in the Peruvian and Mexican platforms because of the pandemics in impulse categories such as snacks and candies. In international operations and retail food, we had a decrease of 9.4%. However, we maintain a positive trend in recovery, and it was the best quarter for the year because of better mobility conditions and physical distancing in the countries where we operate. In cold cuts, we had increases of 10.6% in dollars, with an improved in performance in Panama and its exports. Let's now go to slide number 5, where we see that when we consolidate the sales in Colombia of 6.4% and international growth of 7.8%, we reported in total sales a growth of 6.9% during the quarter, with sales of 2,949,300 million pesos. Organically, the growth was significant of 6.2%. Now, I'd like to go to slide number 6, where we will show the sales accumulated for the year. And before we go into these numbers, I'd like to remind you that these accumulated sales for the year, we have the combined effect of 2 months with a very normal commercial dynamics, in January and February, and 10 months where we operated with some effects of the pandemic. As far as Colombia is concerned, in Colombia reported during the year an increase of 7.9%, with a growth of, in most business units, significant pasta, cold cuts, and confectioneries, and the recovery of chocolates and ice cream, which took place mostly during the second half of the year. Organic sales, excluding the acquisition of Atlantic Food Services, were 6.5 billion pesos in with a growth of 5.3%. Also, by excluding sales from retail foods during the year, the growth in Colombia would be 10.9%. As we said earlier, the retail foods and coffee had lower sales as a result of the pandemic. In some of the previous conferences, we had told you that according to our accounts, close to 17% of the coffee we sold in Colombia is sold to be resold in cafeterias, so that is why coffee has a negative impact, which is partially compensated by the increased consumption at home. In summer, in Colombia, we have a balanced growth in terms of volume and price. The change in prices per kilo was mainly due to changes in the sales mix. Going to international sales, outside of Colombia, revenue for the period was $1,119 million, with a growth of 5% in Colombian pesos. Those revenue was 4,436,300 million pesos, and a growth of 18.1%. The organic sales growth, excluding the acquisition of Cameron's Coffee, was 0.1% in dollars and 12.7% in pesos. Exports from Colombia, that I mentioned earlier, were $288.5 million, with an increase of 12.5%. TMLUC had a growth of 7.5% in Colombia's in Chilean pesos, including the effect of the devaluation of 12.7% in the Chilean peso vis-a-vis the dollar. The growth decreased 5.3% in dollars. This effect is reversed completely when we account and consolidate this company in Colombian pesos. In coffee, we reported organic growth of 20.3%. With the effect of the acquisition of Cameron's Coffee, it comes to 51%. Chocolate consolidated a year with lower volumes in Mexico and Peru, mostly due to affecting these countries. Their portfolios are more focused on impulse purchases. Going now to slide number 7, we see sales, total sales for the year. In the accumulator, we find a total sales for 11,127,500 million pesos, with a growth of 11.7%. Without retail foods, that growth would be 14.5%. Sales of innovative products were very important, represented 19.6% of our total sales for the year. More than five years in a row, more than the goal that we had set up for the sales. Going now to slide number 8, let me show you a sales by region. We see that sales outside of Colombia were 39.9%, the result of a significant growth in the U.S. platform, which went from 9.2% in 2019 to 11.8% this year, which becomes the second geography for Grupo Nutresa after Colombia. During the year, we had growth in our main geographies and regions, and we expanded the presence of our products to exports that reached 78 countries around the world. Now let's go to, after the sales for the quarter, look at the total sales of for the year and the regional distribution, so we can talk about the market share. In this report, you can see our market share in Colombia was 53.8%. These results show the measurements with the methodology we implemented the previous year, which shows you an expanded view of the market, which includes markets such as cash and carry, discounters, and direct sales. In general, that 53.8 is slightly lower than the figure we had mentioned the previous year, minus 0.2% than we had shown in the previous year. And the outlook is a slight decrease in biscuits when I say less than 1%, a slight decrease in cold cuts, improvements in chocolate, table chocolate, and modifiers, a slight decrease in 0.5% in nuts, improved in ground and roasted coffee, a decrease in soluble coffee. In Chile, we improved instant drinks and pastas, and we decreased a bit in coffee and pasta, and we improved in Mexico in instant drinks. In ice cream, we don't have a comparison, but it was a very good year in terms of share. In pasta, it was a slight decrease. We had very significant shares in consumer retail foods. In general, Grupo Nutresa maintains a leadership position holding positions that are relevant in all the categories where we participate. And if you were to ask me, what is that minus 0.2? It's in general the result of the brand growth, the growth of our own brands, or in some markets where our participation is lower than in other channels. But we're very close to what we had the previous year. Now, the next slide, now talking about profits, the Grupo Nutresa Commodity Index, which for the January to December has a higher level than what we had for the previous year, the result of an increase in prices of our raw materials, especially during the second semester of 2020. Remember that the rate of exchange affects the final cost of our imported inputs, or those that are indexed to the dollar. The average accumulated rate in Colombian pesos for this year is 12.5% higher than we had for 2019, and that has an impact on the cost of some of our raw materials. As we mentioned, or as José Domingo Penagos will tell you later, it was a year where we were able, we had some pressure on the cost of goods sold, but we were able to manage our expenses and manage our financial expenses and the cost of debt, and that allowed us to have good profits for the period. Now, our CFO, José Domingo Penezos, I am asking you to come and tell you about our profit levels. Welcome, José Domingo. Good morning to everyone. Let's complement our presentation for results for 2020 with our profitability and our financial statements, both for the quarter and for the full year. And we're able to show you the results of the this on the results and the cash flows of the organization. Let's start with the EBITDA for the fourth quarter, slide number 11. And we should say that the last quarter has a historic seasonality, and 2020 was not stranger to that. The expenses that had accumulated a little more over the end of the year. And as Carlos Ignacio said, we added to that a significant pressure on the cost. That pressure was maintained throughout the year, and again, the quarter was also affected by that rate of exchange. We ended with an EBITDA of 326,000 Colombian million pesos, margin of 11.1, and a negative variation of 7.9%. Mentioning also what I mentioned about the cost and expenses, the equation that describes the semester is lower business dynamics during the quarter compared to the other quarters of the year, not necessarily with the previous years. A pressure on cost, remember the rate of exchange has an important impact. It was revalued somewhat at the end of the year, but it's still at very high levels for our cost structure. And we found that the balance in the equation during the quarter and for the year in that saving or in that impact on all our expenses. Before going to the individual business, let's talk about the business the expenses. I'd like to tell you that we've said several times that Grupo prioritizes people's health and well-being, and that it requires additional hygiene and biosecurity. And this has some additional expenses involved. This 106,000 million pesos, which on expense of 11.2 billion is basic 100 basic points of EBITDA margin. This is for the entire year, and for the quarter was also impacted by that. That is the general context of the quarter. Now, let's talk about by business. Let's start with the biscuits. The decrease in sales for the period and the higher cost of raw materials with an adequate expense management, we also keep in mind that this business unit is seasonal in terms of expenses because of the Christmas season. In the cold cuts, we have good growth in sales and the increase in cost of raw materials, the proteins, pork, beef, and some double-digit increases. We have this equation on the savings in expenses, especially in sales, because we also have some pressure on sales expenses because of the biosecurity that we mentioned just a few minutes ago. In chocolates, we saw that it has a good recovery in sales in Colombia, better business dynamics in Colombia. The challenges are more in the international platforms. We're talking about Mexico and Peru, and that impacts the cost of raw materials is has effect on the quarter. We have significant pressures from the cacao oils and sugar, and we make it up with lower expenses in marketing and distribution mostly. In terms of coffee, although it had a very good business performance, the higher cost during the period for raw materials, double digit in this expenses, in this affect the results. It does have an impact on the quarter. In the MLUC, the stability in business in Chile and part of Mexico, we have effects of lower sales during the period, and therefore a lower dilution of the costs, and that's where the profits are impacted during this period in the business unit. In retail food, all you can see the numbers. You can see the decrease in 15% in retail food. However, I believe that we should point out that vis-a-vis the quarter of the same year, the previous year, it has improved significantly because little by little we've had moved the mobility improves and has an impact, although we still have a more balanced equation in our sales channels, both in physical retail outlets, call centers, and pick up at the store. That's been working very well. So in this area, by comparing a quarter without COVID compared to the one now, it has a very good performance. The ice creams, we have an increase of 15.2%, much better than the 2019, and this is backed by good growth in sales and operating efficiencies. It's trying to improve expenses, logistics, and it was consistent throughout the year. And finally, pasta, 12.8%, had good growth in sales, very sustained business dynamics throughout the year. And although we do have pressure on by raw materials, and during the year and the quarter, we had to increase their marketing investments, we had a very good equation for the last quarter. So this is, as an explanation, is support for our last quarter. And how does the year end in 2020 compare to the EBITDA? Slide number 12. We see the numbers, 1.4 billion, a growth of 7.2%. Those billions are Colombian pesos. The margin is 13%. And in general, as a summary, because we already spoke in more detail about the quarter, the year ends with a growth like in EBITDA in all businesses, especially in the all businesses that have to do with or that are focused on household consumption, their good performance, good growth in the EBITDA. Because of the size and the growth, I would highlight cold cuts, coffee, ice cream, coffee, and biscuits. good number of businesses, and in the retail food, which has decreased. This is due to the reasons we mentioned earlier. This is the EBITDA for the end of the 2020, and this explains the operating results that we are going to see for the quarter and for the accumulated for the year. Let's look at the quarter of the profit and loss, which is slide number number 13. We had the intermittent measures of quarantine during the quarter. Carlos Ignacio mentioned it earlier in the business section. This took place in all the geographies we operate. Practically in all of them, we had these intermittent quarantines. Our responsibility was to manage the resources efficiently, guarantee the business continuity, availability, and the ability to what we call the go-to-market to adapt to all these changes that were constantly taking place during the year and would probably continue during this year. So we adapting quickly is a key. Let me start by saying the sales, we had 2.9 billion. They grew at 6.9%. The pressure on cost for raw materials, as including the in the quarter, this increased higher than net revenue, and the effect that this had was on basic margin points, the loss of 200 base points due to the impact on the cost, which we already explained. And also the equation is imbalanced a little bit by the cost management administration. Production and sales production is where we assign most of these extraordinary costs because of the COVID, and the effects like an entire package, this set of growth about 5%, less than the growth of profits, and will have more impact on the accumulation and reverse part of those loss of basis points. These are the numbers for the quarter specifically. A couple of effects that I want to mention about the change of assets and liabilities is about 10 billion pesos due to the structure of our work capital. The revaluation of the last quarter, which has a positive effect. And we have other revenue from 12 or 13,000 billion pesos, which is a renegotiation of fixed assets during the period. This is the reason for our operating profits. It's 219,000 million pesos, 11.3%, and EBITDA that I mentioned in the previous section of 323,000 million pesos with a decrease of 8%. This is the operating part. In post-operating activities of the middle line of the P&L, we have financial revenue due to the group's cash flow position, which we will see in the accumulated part, the cash investment that we had during the year. The financial expenses decrease. We had about 20%, and it goes down to 16,000 million pesos, Colombian pesos. And although this is the end of the presentation for the financial structure, I can tell you that the cost of the debt or the structure of the debt is variable, allows us to good tailwinds in rates of interest, but we, in the beginning of the year, we're very much focused on using different tranches, and this allows us to set some very flexible management of the different tranches. The difference in the exchanges is 16,000 million pesos. We have the effect of the revaluation of the quarter, the cash accounts, and especially the account receivables from overseas affiliates. And then we have taxes. We have a variation of 32% in our income tax, negative due, but in the decrease in 7,500 million pesos. But the best way to understand our taxes during any period and in this quarter is the effective rate, with the 26.6% very much aligned with the rate of the year compared to 41% in 2019. Obviously, here the extraordinary rate was in 2019, and although we explained that in the at that time, this is the effect of some acquisitions. This took place in the 2019 and has some expenses due to the transition commissions, fees for bankers and attorneys, and those expenses are overseas. They have a top a limit to the deduction for our income tax. We don't have the deduction in other expenses overseas, and the best way to this, we didn't have that recurrent expense this in 2020. We're going back to a very similar, very much aligned with the previous rates of taxes. We had a profits of 105,000, almost 106,000 million pesos, higher by 16% to what we reported in the same quarter last year. The P&L for the year, slide number 14. We have growth, which is 11.7%. This is 11.1 billion in revenue. We should mention here the pro formas and the two acquisitions, the 11.7. Without the revenue from acquisitions, Atlantic Food Service and Cambridge Company, is 8.1%. And the cost, the same effect we mentioned throughout the presentation, has 200 base points of gross margin. A significant profit is a cost that is reverted and accumulated, and mostly by expense management. When you look at all these expenses that I mentioned, in the year is 5.6%, and this improves 190 base points, 120, 190 in the expenses, and that helps us find the balance for profit. We also have events in ice cream for the difference in rate of exchange, and that has some operating expenses of 1,019,000 million pesos, Colombian pesos, and this is similar to the EBITDA that we mentioned earlier, is 0.4 billion, growing 7.2%. Again, the middle line down is very similar. The revenue, the cash position, and 4,000 million pesos. The financial revenue, the financial expenses also decreased 6.4%. And I already mentioned the position about the determination of our some tranches, and we expect a very good behavior with respect to dividend for the year. We reported a growth of 12.6% from our investments in Grupo Sur and Grupo Argos, our participation in the associates. We have revenues from 4,500 million pesos. We are some investing in supporting and making those investments grow. And in the different rate of exchange, non-operating rate, we have an expense because of the structure of our capital. Working capital is 10,800 million pesos. Taxes, I already mentioned that. But the effective rate, tax rate is 28.3%. It's practically the same as what we had in 2019, 28.6. This shows that the structure in this manage is very competitive. All this set of operating and post-operating effects gives us a consolidated net profits of 575 million pesos, higher than 4.3% higher than the previous year. And I'll end with this section, our net profits, with our debt position for the group. The graph shows our net debt, and the debt indicator, the leverage of this 1.86 times, which is decreasing constantly. We had a 3.6% at all costs for the debt and a healthy cash position for the organization. After all these effects on profits, we should talk about the CapEx for the 2021. About the end of the year that just ended, our CapEx improved to 127 billion pesos. We had a higher budget. Around the same time, we had told you about 343 million pesos. With the pandemic, we rationalized that, and then in another conference, we told you we updated this. All that gave us 267 million pesos with an optimization with all the plus and minuses of what we had said earlier, it's 30% less. That was for 2020. For the starting year, the current year, 2021, we have a budget for CapEx of 430 million pesos. This budget includes all the maintenance, all the special projects for growth and expansion, and the CIDRI project, our multi-category plant that we are building in Santa Marta, and which told you about at the end of last year. All this leads to a ROIC that I mentioned, Carlos Ignacio said, of 9.6%, higher than the cost of capital in the area of value generation. Here I conclude now, and I'll give the floor again to Carlos Ignacio, who's going to tell us about the outlook for the 2021. Thank you, José Domingo. Let me now go to the outlook. First of all, with respect to the commercial part in 2021, we see that the commercial dynamics of the various markets will be affected by the rate of economic recovery, which is in turn have a lot to do with the way in which each country will be facing the pandemic, the vaccination cycles, the application of preventive measures. The dynamic will also have a lot to do with the higher levels of employment, the improvements in home or household income. In Colombia, 2020 had a decrease of 6.8% in GDP. We expect that this year we will have a recovery of between 4% and 5%. We at Nutresa are not wanting to act as an average. We're trying to go above the average of these values. During the year, we will have all our organic and inorganic growth strategies, and we will continue to work strongly in developing channels, strengthening our brands, and continuing to innovate not only in products but also working on services, processes, and business models, and to continue turning exports into an important growth engine. All this together allows us to project for good growth for the year. You know that we don't give you a yearly guidance for growth, but I want to remind you that at the end of the third quarter, when we showed our 2020-2030 strategy, we said that our major hope was to double the company's size again. That would imply an annual growth, 7.2% compound growth. With respect to profits, what we see is pressure on the price of the commodities, which we will be managing with our hedging strategies, using physical inventories when it's advantageous, and we've seen some volatile rate of exchange. We have some super cycle of commodities in some of the regions. For example, in Chile, rate of exchange has a lot to do with the copper. Colombia has a lot to do with oil, and we will continue to invest resources to protect people's lives and health. This is a priority, and as José Domingo said in his presentation, that means some expenses, but it's a priority for the company. We will be working very hard on productivity in costs and expenses, and we will be using our pricing strategies where necessary to maintain the accessibility to the market, but also with the profit levels that we need, so that at the end, that growth in business and those management efforts can lead to good results, returns on investment, and some adequate cash flows, and improving as we have been doing. So that is the outlook. And this is a year that we believe is going to be of growth. Perhaps we will not have the panic peaks that we had in the previous year, because this is a different reality now in the pandemic. But at the same time, we are facing this year with new capabilities that will enable us to do a more powerful management. Good outlook. We have adequate returns on our investment. I'll give the floor now to Jorge so that we can go to our Q&A. Thank you very much, Carlos Ignacio. We'll now start our Q&A. To start the session, I'll read, first of all, the questions that we have through the webcast. The first two are from Daniel Guardiola from Betting. Bearing in mind that the company is lowering its leverage relatively quickly, how are you going to determine the use of capital and the financial flexibility? Are you going to do repurchase shares? Are you going to have inorganic growth? And can you give us more details on the strategy? And the second question is, how do you expect to make up the high raw material prices? What do you think about that strategy? Well, thank you very much, Daniel, for being with us in the conference, and I'll be glad to give you an answer. The first thing that I should say is that the capital allotment is totally dynamic, and it is not exclusive. It is a limited resource, but it doesn't mean that you choose one and necessarily sacrifice two and three, or choose two or three. I will talk about each of the three possible applications of that capital that you mentioned. First, inorganic growth is extremely important for Grupo Nutrese, but fortunately, it is not the only source of growth. In fact, our last 10 years, only one-third of the Grupo's growth has been inorganic. This is a key, helps the company improve, that it allows us to access new markets, new capabilities, and to the extent that we find opportunities that are attractive, we should do that to benefit our shareholders, but it's not an obligation. We will do that if we have the opportunity, and we're actively working on it. Second, the repurchase of shares. In last year's General Assembly approved a project for repurchase shares over 3 years, which mentioned as an option, but not an obligation. And that is a possibility that the Board of Directors has, so that when the conditions in the market are appropriate and according to the regulations, which as recently updated by the financial superintendents, we can decide, the board can decide to repurchase some of those shares. The analysis carried out by the board, it includes many factors, the company value, and you can decide when to repurchase. It's a possibility. The shares of Grupo Nutresa over the past year has had some recoveries, but it's still there. And the board decides whether to do it or not. It can be very convenient, and it's an option that is very much used in other markets. and paying off the debt. We have a net debt to EBITDA, which is a good rate, good rates as well. And the next alternatives that we have in terms of debt, and that José Domingo mentioned it earlier, is to have some long tranches in favorable conditions. Having those that level that we have right now gives power to enable it to implement strategic projects very expeditiously with the appropriate capability or capacity. So, Daniel, if you ask me, what are we going to be doing? I think that the company has that portfolio of possibilities and probably will be working on a combination of that portfolio. Debt has a very good rates today. We have to continue determining more tranches. We have to look for more opportunities. And if we had an advantage in purchasing and acquisitions, the board will decide whether we do it or not. And now go to the second question about the M&A strategy. First of all, our sustainability strategy, the criteria for responsible investment are very important, and we will keep in mind the decisions of sustainability for that process of M&A. When we speak about an M&A strategy, we have to think not only geographically, but also category, even in target sizes. In terms of geographies, we've defined a strategic region for Nutresa. At the end of the year, we created Nutresa South Africa. As I mentioned that, going more deeply in our presence in Africa, not only with exports, but also with alliances and possible investments. We've been very active in the Andean region, in Chile, Central America, the Caribbean, in some markets in the U.S. and Southeast Asia. And we will continue to be active in those geographies. And secondly, vis-a-vis categories, we are very much interested in those that have to do with the health and nutrition categories. We're interested in access to some existing categories, and others are frontier areas, which allows us to access new businesses with interesting dynamics in market sizes. We're interested in accessing new capabilities. We're interested in accessing the way the businesses relate to natural and social capitals. And with sciences, our strategy means being involved in different ranges. Large businesses, not only acquisitions, but it's also value to have compensations, strategic alliances, and like some said we have and that we continue to look at. Mid-size, where we have been very active, and the small ones, which, you know, we always look at two points of view. First of all, the venture capital type thing, where we have access to capabilities that allow us to improve our businesses, give us access to leading-edge knowledge to apply in our businesses and markets, and also the search for small jewels that can be interesting from the point of view of the platform of Grupo Nutresa. We're very active in those categories, in those sizes, in those groups. And when we speak about M&A, we'll be active in the M, but also we're going to be active in the A. Management liquidity also. We've been working well in CapEx. With CapEx, we have some internal committees to ensure that the project we're going to will be good to make us a better company and are good for the shareholders. You know that proposal for dividends that has been approved, and in debt management and inorganic, it's already mentioned. So I hope that I have given you a full answer to a question. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We have two more questions from Julian. I was from Alta Vivienda. The first is to do with but the question is the effects on margins. Do you think they will be maintained, or was this thing related to the rate of exchange? And the second is, what are you doing about the C3 project, and you have some guidelines about the inorganic growth for 2021. Thank you also for you being with us. How about us, prophets, and very generally, because as you can saw, the Grupo Nutresa has a portfolio of categories. What we saw during the years was a major pressure on the cost of goods sold. That pressure was heavier during the second semester. The rate of exchange had an impact. We believe that the pressure continues, perhaps not as strong as in the second semester, but still will continue. And we're managing that. We have a very, very good hedge or management, and we're very active. We have physical inventory, but it's far very likely that in some references, specifically in some channels, in some geographies, that we'd have to complement that with some pricing. Perhaps, well, I didn't mention that, and there was another question. Is we have some pricing models, which are is the state of the art. It's you can simulate different scenarios, and is what would happen to volumes with different price scenarios. So what we think is that this management continues. There's also a pressure on expenses because of protection to people. We'll continue to work on that, but we also have ongoing programs for productivity, and what we believe is that, as I said, in our outlooks, the application of those hedges, the physical care, productivity, plus a little bit of pricing will allow us to have some appropriate returns. The previous year was had excellent expense management because costs were very, very hard. As far as C3, we are doing very well in the implementation of our civil works. That C3 is a project with an estimated investment of $133 million built in the free trade area in Santa Marta. This is where we hope to export 70% of what we produce in the plant. The civil works are doing very well. The city and the department where the city is located have welcomed us with open arms. We have so far no delays. We hope that in May, when the civil works will be complete to start installing equipment. José Domingo mentioned that the CAPEX includes what we need to complete the project, and we are implementing the human part, recruiting and training the teams that will be working in that plant. We're doing well. And we don't have guidance about the inorganic growth. Normally, we don't give any guidance. What we could mention is the fact that over the past 10 years, a third of our growth has been. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Now, any questions to the teleconference? If you have any questions, push star and then one in your phone. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio. Follow up the question about the margins. And at the same time, we have a macroeconomic report that we see a recovery in the economy. What are the priorities of this year? What would be carrying a heavier weight between preserving market share, margins, or continue with the growing our company? Thank you, Andres. It's not a simple question, but I would say something that you didn't mention. Our priority is to preserve and improve returns, marketing, margin, gross margin, or EBITDA. Our priority is that our combination of all these leverages that we use to make the ROIC will allow us to have higher returns than the cost of capital, and we're focusing on that. Last year was a very challenging year, as we mentioned. I would say that after March, we saw many things, and the company, during that time, not only faced them, but the company developed new capabilities, as I mentioned. I think that right now we have a lot of capabilities will allow us to face these situations. Now, we have to look at Nutresa with the presence that we have in various geographies. When you sometimes you look at a dark panorama, what to do with it? 40% of our sales are outside of Colombia, between the U.S. and Chile, which have vaccine application rates. We have approximately 20% of our sales. So geographic diversification has very different roles. And exports from Colombia, which grew double digit in dollars and which are still doing well, do not depend on household income in Colombia. This is an important factor that gives a different resilience. It doesn't mean that we're not affected what happens in Colombia. Obviously, it does. But it's not the same as if Nutresa was just a merely Colombian company or the market was only the Colombian market. So what we want to do is to manage properly in the various markets, but we believe that international is going to have a very important role to play in this year to allow the returns to be good throughout the year. We believe, as I said earlier in the outlook, that is going to be where we're going to grow and are going to have high returns. Thank you, Andres, for being here with us. Another question about the dividends. You're only increasing 8% when profits went up 14%. And leverage was significantly reduced. Can you give us a little bit about that, the return of capital? How does that affect the return to shareholders? Yes, it's a very good question because it lets me remind you that when a board director decides to distribute the dividends, not only do we take into consideration these individual statement of results, but it is the cash flow. It has the entire market, entire company, and the projects for the future. The proposal for the distribution of shares of dividends was a 6.52% growth, a different growth at 8.15, but when inflation, there's a real important growth of 3%, 299, and that represents 41.7% of the cash flow. So it's a significant portion, and what we're trying to do is to have a balance return will be improving year by year, but without sacrificing the company's possibility for the future. So we think it's a good proposal. I think it's in the market, it is not very often that you see a company or an issuer under these conditions do this. And what it shows that we have a project in the company and it has a balance outlook for the balance in the future. Thank you, Andres, for your question. I hope that you are all very well. start by retail foods had very good results in sales, both in Colombia and overseas, although profits were a little slower. Congratulations, because of the management to recover that, and how the business has changed in the future. I think that online sales and retail and deliveries are going to be more important. Our expense and costs have changed. So there's been a lot of structural changes. Can give us a snapshot of how the business is going to be looking like in the future. Thank you, Felipe, with being with us in the conference, and we'll be glad to make some comments about it. First of all, yes, we have had a month-by-month recovery. We were expecting December to reach the same figure. Unfortunately, for the second peak of COVID, we're very, you know, let us get very close, but we've been recovering sales. There are some aspects that changed, and for example, deliveries, home deliveries at the end of the last year, February, was about 12%. And now it's a new layer because people are going to restaurants, and there's a new layer there that is going to continue, and we're going to meet a different way to do it directly and others with allies. Secondly, Colombia historically had been a country where leases were pretty heavy, pretty costly compared to other countries. And this situation in the previous year has allowed us to lower the numbers. We have renegotiated several leases. And the previous year, we had some of the stores where we weren't able to renegotiate, and we finally the profit levels would allow us to continue. So that meant that the total number of stores, we decreased about 20 stores or outlets, which is the net of what we opened and what we closed. So we have 20 outlets less or stores less in personnel. The effort by, you know, to get care of our people, what we usually do a lot of over a lot of years, the sense of belonging, the pride of belonging to the company, our turnover indicators were much lower, and that impacts service, the quality, which also will be reflected, and we have a business which is we're not happy about the fact that we went out of the market in some areas. In some of our countries around the world, about 35% of restaurants have closed around the world, and many of them forever. This is a market where the number of players has decreased. We believe that that business has a very sound basis, with less turnover personnel, more committed, a different risk structure, and we are along a very good road to recovery. As I think that the issue of profitability will be coming out. Our returns, we have a return on a year-to-year basis, so we're going to be seeing that gradually, but in the EBITDAs and the cash, we will see that very soon. We are already seeing that. What we believe is that as of March, the month-to-month comparison is going to show a very significant comparison. In March, the restaurant sold 40% less than what we used to sell. So we're going to be selling perhaps mass or panic sales, but we're going to have an increase in impulse sales and in restaurants, which much higher than we had in the previous year. So the important is we have platforms that we didn't have before, and we see that the future of the business, we see that with other eyes. We have who have the ability to create new digital beds, which are lighter in terms of assets. And that leads us with a personnel which is less turnover, more committed, people who can work with fewer assets, and with a digital platform which has a very significant advantage. Thank you for your question. Thank you. A second question, but I think that the first quarter, this is a quarter we don't have an impact from Cameron's. The international coffee results are good. How much was that Cameron's, and which came from other factors? I mentioned something that might give you an idea. I said the international coffee market, and for us, grew about 20%. But when we added Cameron's, it grew at 50. So it means that Cameron's did add to it, but our organic international base had a significant growth. The coffee business in Nutresa sells more outside of Colombia than in Colombia. And Colombia mentioned that it was affected by local consumption, which is the coffee you sell prepared in cafeterias. And when we have fewer flow of people, it's impacted. And it grew in homes, but it doesn't make up close. But outside of Colombia was an outstanding year with the development of markets in Asia. Very, very well done. In the U.S., Cameron performed very well. It's a business that's doing well. It's threatened by other commodities in a category where commodities have a lot of weight. But it has a lot of future, and it's one of those that has the most rosy panorama. I think it has a very clear definition, very trendy in many regions around the world, and where we have some innovative capacities and some intellectual property issues that allow us to have a very good play a very good game, and with very important allies to grow. Thank you very much. One more, Carlos Rodriguez from Corvenir. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about cost and margins. Can you give us a guidance about the EBITDA margins, like we wish to have between 12 and 14, now it's for 16. What do you expect for the 2021 when we have the new accounting regulations? And the second question has to do about the impact that could be expected in the dividend for 2021, both accounting and cash-wise. In expectations for dividends compared, what do you mean by that? Because the dividends that you get from other affiliates. Let me answer the first one. We do not give guidance specifically about the margins. I think Carlos Ignacio mentioned something about the returns. You might find this is a year going to have to be rewriting this, and the commitment is to growth over and returns. So the focus is to get returns on invested capital and work on that equation for profits, because we're going to be having pressure on costs and with appropriate management of expenses. But we're also be going investing in our brands. We're going to be defending the brands and strengthening them. And this will give us an equation which could be not to generate returns on invested capital more than the cost of capital. This is our idea. And the second thing is to talking about cash, the cash flow. It's also very important for the company, obviously, constantly being going in improving our cash with over sales or EBITDA, and that is going to continue to be a key factor to continue growth. Those two investments in Grupo Sur and Grupo Argos are strategic long-term investments, and it's normal that there will be variations over time. For example, last year, the dividends for those companies grew more than ours. This is a year where it would probably not. But normally, when you cross those figures, those are impacts are not material. We understand that those both companies will have dividends, and it's part of our the values that we keep in our plans, and we see that they are completely manageable. No further questions. Jorge Andres Rodriguez for final comments. Thank you, Sylvia. We have some additional questions from via chat. I will read them. The first one is from Jorge Cruz from Seguros Bolívar. They're asking, of the expenses and investments made by the or caused by the pandemics, which do, should you consider to be structural in the future, and which are more due to digital or to changes in behavior? Thank you for being in our conference. One of the lessons from the previous years is that the strategy is dynamic and that there are major frameworks and principles and values, some sustainability capabilities that are vital. Grupo Nutresa, a lot of what we were able to do last year was not invented of that year. Those are things and capabilities that we have been working on for many years. So the planning is more about a framework within which you can analyze and define as fast as needed. The ability to adapt is extremely important. The interdependence of the companies, of these our ecosystems, interconnected with other actors is vital, and the care for life and nature are key. Changes in behavior, consumer behavior, we had a lot of home preparation for foods that opens up new opportunities. Felipe asked us about some plans that have to do with the digital, which will also become additional sources of growth and value generation. I'd say that we did not invent a lot of digital. What we did was accelerate those digital initiatives, and the major difference between the way this digital affects favorably or unfavorably an organization has to do with the human part. When we can manage that, the transformation of humans allows us to use tools, enable us to use tools, and get higher value than other competitors. We also believe that the value offers to clients, consumers, etc., have to include social and environmental components. Some might be more important than in other countries, but we're seeing that in many of the trends and in the investment funds, for example, where they are saying that it is desirable to have that sustainable outlook of the world. Recognition of the others, respect for the others, sustainability, and human-based capabilities are very important issues for the future of companies like Nutresa. Thank you for that outlook as an insurance company, that you are all experts in risk and trends, and you have a very clear idea that these issues are not superficial. These are not something that a company like ours should ignore. Look at our webpage, our 2030 plan for Grupo Nutresur. You see that we have some very clear objectives, not only financially, but also in social and environmental objectives. And I think that has to do with that greater awareness that we had to face in the previous year. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We have another question from Valentina Martinez from Bancolombia. The question is, could you give us a little more idea about the hedges that you're trying to face the volatility of raw material prices? For that, we have a policy which is not new. We have had this for many years. We have that first, commodities and rate of exchange. And I'll start with the rate of exchange. We have a natural hedge, which is between revenues and expenses in dollars. The $140 million is our exposure, and we cover that position. I think that close to 80% of that position is already covered in line with the budget for 2020. We simply look a year into the future. And for the commodities, it's a physical and hedging in financial markets. And we have a future coverage for the year. And we cover between 50 and 75% for the coming year in the major commodities, in wheat, in coffee, in cocoa, in the various protein. Each commodity has its specific strategy, but in general, we are covered, as I just mentioned. Thank you, Jose Domingo. I'll do read two questions from Joanna Castro. To make up the rate of exchange, would there be an option for the use of local raw materials, or is it not possible in Colombia? The second is the makeup of the board of directors. We have something to about the number of new members of the board of directors. Thank you, Joanna, for your being with us. The first part, Jose Domingo, some of that. I would just mention that on average, Grupo Nutresa supplied 80% on average from local sources, and whenever possible, we prefer local supplies. We work a lot on developing supplies in all countries where we operate. About the second partner, the company, according to the law, already had a new agenda for the assembly. You can see that check are the issues that are going to be discussed. Time is still running to register the slates for the board, so I can, you cannot see it yet, but it will be published within the terms allowed by the law. And you can see on the agenda that there is no point that says it changes the number of members of the board. We have four members equity and four independent members. We increase the diversity. We have two ladies in the board of directors. It's also a board of directors that has diversity in seniority. Three members are only a year in service. And this is what I could tell you about that management body. And thanks again. Thank you very much for being with us in the conference. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. I'll read the question from Daniel Duarte from Corte Colombiana. Could you tell more details about the strategy for the tranches of the debt? What is the ratio for the seasonality of the expenses in the period? I think that more than rationing is the rationale. When you have a group of expenses, especially market expenses, commercial expenses, before the new financial reporting standards, we were able to provision for the expenses. Now we have to record what we are causing now. And many of the contracts are expired at the end of the year, and we have a great proportion compared to the different issues. It's just a matter of how they are distributed throughout the year. That's been historical aspect of the company. How to schedule them is different from some surpluses of expenses in some periods. About the trenches, is our debt structure is variable. It has had a variable debt structure, and that has allowed us to use the changes in the rates of exchange. We don't have a different negotiation with different tranches, with different entities, some capital markets and some corporate debt, but this is subdivided. This gives us a lot of flexibility to adapt to changes. Now we have the benefit of decreasing the rate of exchange of interest, but tranche by tranche and year by year, and we have negotiations which are individual negotiations. We have some maturities are more emphasizing the year 2025, and some others between here and 25 and up to 2030. We have right now 20% is a variable structure, and that remaining we have about 13-14% have set at medium and long term rates of interest. What we do is take changes, tranches, and apply them to the rates of interest between 5 and 7 years maturity during this 2021. Thank you, Jose. The two last questions of the webcast from Fabian Perdomo from Mavivienda Corredores. Can you give us a little bit idea of decrease of the debt in the net debt has decreased because of higher generation of cash flow generation. Our debt, the debt structure is working capital, and we get some buying power. We pay up, we prepay as we can get some cash. We assign it to the future projects, and we use the balance to pay off. Therefore, our indicator is basically on the same debt, but it improves 1.86 times. The last question is Carlos Roca from Predicorp. I would like to have more information about pricing. How can you manage that in the various regions? Pricing capability has to do with mathematical models that allow us to have some estimates of different scenarios vis-a-vis price levels and volumes by reference, by region, and by channel. Obviously, we can do that simulation. We have different ways to reach the market, but we are totally respectful of the competition, and we act in markets where there is free competition. And when I speak that we work on scenarios, it's because you have to imagine, according to the behavior that you have, what would be the possible reactions of the competitors. So these are simulation exercises where you estimate actions, reactions, and consequences. These models, in turn, are models that are calibrated and that learn and become increasingly more sophisticated. We have world-class consulting for improving several models, but whenever you touch prices, you have to imagine that the rest of the offer is going to, what they have, what the brand power, what is their distribution, What is the type of technological barriers that you might be facing? What are the substitute products? Because when somebody goes to a store, for example, the competitors are not just those for the same product. They're the products that can meet the same needs for the similar or smaller cost. So we have that, and we have the ability, and we use that as an additional tool that'll help us to make decisions. And when we speak about these pricing strategies, what we mean is that this is not a group dedicated to saying that we're going to go up for X percent by in all products, in all regions, in all channels. That's exactly the opposite. This is a precision action when you make those decisions, have the least impact, and in many cases would not affect it at all, but rather benefit them. This is a very sophisticated topic, but those models are improving every day, and we use them to be able to get at appropriate profits, but without sacrificing accessibility and always respecting free competition. Thank you very much. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. This concludes the teleconference for results for the fourth quarter of 2020. Any additional question, you can send it to our investor relations division. Thank you for being with us, and have a very nice day. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.